Please turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. Beginning to read then with verse 1 of this 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. May the Lord bless these words to our understanding. Let's pray momentarily. Our Father and our God, we pray that we would understand these words this morning, especially in relationship to the Lord's Supper that we are partaking of after that. We pray that the word might enlighten the sacrament and the sacrament might feed the word as it feeds us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We have here in the scripture this morning a botanical illustration of theology. Now, you know, botany is that part of science that studies the living things, especially the plant world, flowers, trees, and that kind of thing. And so our Lord speaks of us of a vine. And by that, he makes this metaphor or uses this as an illustration to teach us something about our faith and our Christian lives and about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the fields of science have a role or have a place in our Christian minds and understanding. And so it is here. Now, the idea of this vine is very powerful, and that's the main idea that I'm talking about in this sermon, because the vine is a connection. That's the whole point of this little story that Jesus tells us. The vine is a connection to him, because as you look at a vine, if you have passed by vineyards, and as home vineyards are becoming more popular in America, you can see oftentimes as you drive from one place to another, you can see these home vineyards that have sprouted up around the country. And there you will see vines that are growing on wires. And you see, what you see is all this foliage. At this time of the year, the vine is fully sprouted from the spring and the summer, grown. And so you see all this foliage that's on the wires. So many leaves. It's amazing how you look down through down these rows, and they are rows of wondrous, luscious green plants. And yet you ask, well, how do they grow? And you look down the vines, and all of this green stuff comes from one narrow brown shoot that goes into the ground at each vine. And it's really quite a marvel when you think of this one stalk, this one stump or base vine that comes up out of the ground, that draws its nourishment from the ground, and then out of that, on this leafy structure that spreads out for yards and yards and yards along these wires, and grows these grapes that can be then used for grape juice or wine. All of that abundance comes from its connection, the connection between the leaves and the vine. Now that's what Jesus is using here as the basis for his illustration. He wants us to consider this. He wants us, as it were, in the midst of the sermon, when he was speaking this to his disciples, he wanted the disciples to reflect on the picture, to meditate on what they would see along the roads as people had their vineyards that were growing in their pastures and in their vineyards, whereby they would do their own, where they would be harvesting the grapes themselves. And so the whole parable here, as it were, or botanical illustration, trades on the real thing. The vine is like a pipeline or a conduit for the good stuff getting from the ground, whether it's water or nutrients, for the good stuff getting from the ground out yards and yards, sometimes 10, 20, 30 yards away on these vines. And Jesus makes this declaration about this illustration. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. What a wonderful, wonderful picture our Lord points to himself. This is one of those things where when people will say a little bit more about Jesus as we go through in the sermon, and how he has a direct connection to all of this. But just in terms of who he was, we see that Jesus makes these extravagant claims about himself in the Bible. And we have to admit, either these claims are true and they're meaningful, or Jesus is quite the wicked person. And you can't make it go one way or the other. And so even here, in a place where he's not obviously making this comparison, we're faced with it. I am the true vine, he says, and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear fruit. Later on, he exhorts them, you know, without me, you will amount to nothing. So it's of utter significance whether or not you are connected to the vine. Now, we have a sense of the importance of these kinds of things, of these connections. This is the year that we are in is 2020. This is the 400th anniversary of the landing on America of the Puritan types that founded New England, both the Separatists and the more proper Puritans, the Massachusetts Bay Colony and the Plymouth Colony there in Massachusetts. And people take great pride in being able to trace their lineage to one of the families that came over on the Mayflower, don't they? Maybe we're not into that so much, but you'll run into people that will tell you, I'm related to John Bradford, or one of the other people that came over that founded that colony. And they take some pride in that, because we see a sense, we see a value in the connectionalism between ourselves and that which has come before us. Well, Jesus is trading on that idea of connectionalism. Now, in the Bible, you'll note that Jesus and the apostles argue against being big on genealogies. It's fine if you want to trace out your genealogy. It's fine if you want to see something of your history. That would fall into the honoring father and mother, the fifth commandment. You know, knowing where you are, knowing where you fit in. But if you, as the Jews did in Jesus' day, if you put all of your significance on the genealogy, then you have the obvious potential of missing the Christ, of putting faith in your genealogy, of your connectionalism, rather than putting your faith in Christ. And in this part of the Bible, Jesus says, we must be connected to him and not put our faith in anything else. The connectionalism that he's arguing for him now is being connected to him with this botanical illustration. This is the main point of the text here. Jesus is pointing to himself as the original source of all things. Now, he says, I am the vine. I am the vine. The true vine. So when he says that about himself, we realize that he is the incarnate Christ. That he is from the Godhead. He's come into the world to save sinners. We think of John 1, where he says that he's the eternal Logos. This connectionalism, we're connected not just to the historical Jesus, but we're connected to the incarnate Jesus. We're connected to the eternal Jesus, the eternal Christ. The one through whom nothing was made that was made. I mean, that everything was made, and nothing was made without him, except that it was made through him. So that Jesus is the source. Think of this vine again. This vine is going to grow and produce grapes. Jesus is the source of all good things. He's the source of all virtue. The very idea of goodness and falsity comes from him in the way that the Father created the world through him. He's the source of all being, reason, beauty, and especially life itself. In the same way that the vine, there's no leaf that's going to grow and produce grapes that is not connected to that root. And in that same way, our Lord Jesus is the source of us. Now in verse 2, he says, there's a demand made then of every branch. We see that we, all the people of the world, are compared here to the branches on a vine. But maybe you have seen a vine where some animal rushed by in the night, a deer or something like that, and tore one of the branches of the vine from the center part of the root. And separated it. And it's inevitable that vine will wither. It will turn brown. It will not produce grapes because it is separated off from the vine that brings all of the nutrients up out of the ground, all of the water, all of the taste and the amazing differences between grapes and flavors and that kind of thing. It's all because of the root. It's all because of that basic root that is there. And so Jesus says in verse 2 that if you're not connected properly to the root, you will be cast off. You'll be separated. There's no possibility that you can really get great benefit from these things. And we can see illustrations of that in this life. We see people around us who manifest many, many gifts. Doctors, lawyers, artists. And yet, if they are not connected to Christ, there's a vanity that pervades their life. To me, the life of Picasso was one of the great illustrations of this. He's one of the great artists of the 20th century. And he produced these works of art that people treasured, whether because they liked abstract art or because of the colors that he would use. But he was a very dynamic artist. But Picasso was well known for his paganism. And so one of the strange things was that he would work so hard, it would drain him to make these productions of art. But almost as soon as he was done with them, in some sense he would hold them in contempt. He had a sense of the vanity of all of his labor because he didn't understand this, but because he was disconnected from the vine, the source of all living life. How can you in your paintings really portray or have a feeling that you've portrayed life if you cut yourself off from the root of all life? And yet that is the anomaly. That is the difficulty of every person who is not a person who honors the Lord, who is not open to the Lord, who is not happy that the gaze of the Lord focuses through that person and sees everything that's there and then infuses that person with the life-giving juices and invigorating spiritual entities of that is part of him that he can bless our lives with. And so Jesus says here, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Now, the main way that he sees that you're connected with him is whether or not you bear fruit. And in this, I believe that what he is saying, especially today, it's popular to think that the only fruit that really counts are people that you've won to Christ. Converts to the gospel. That is a very, very short-sighted way of looking at this. It makes people feel guilty sometimes because, especially in times where there is not vast revival, we know that most of us are not producing that kind of fruit very often. We rejoice when it happens, but it's not something that is really general. But the kind of fruit that the Lord is speaking of here is all of that influence of Christ, the eternal Christ, the creator Christ, all of that influence as it flows up the vine and flows into our lives. So that when we look out the window, we say, I see not just the botany of this world, not just the plants, not just the trees, but I see things that God has fashioned. I see outside the design, the divine design of the living God, of the omnipotent God, the wisdom of God. And as you see those things, it fills your mind with wonder and grace. And it glorifies God because then God looks at us and he sees us and he reads us and he says, ah, here is my good and faithful servant. He or she sees it like it is. He doesn't deny me my glory. He sees the wonder of the world. He sees the wonder of my wisdom. He sees instances or tokens of my power. And the Lord rejoices. And as we live our lives with that nourishment, the spiritual nourishment of God flowing into us and enabling us, like a vine, to produce offshoots and then to produce leaves and then to produce grapes, as we are like that with our lives, it glorifies God even more. And he rejoices, we rejoice. Things are as they were meant to be in the Garden of Eden. Not like the fall, where Adam and Eve denied the Lord, went their own way, at least for a time. And so the Lord, taking knowledge of this, says that we must bear fruit if we're going to really be prosperous. And then in verse 3, there's this strange verse. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. What does that have to do with this vine and the bearing fruit? It's really a beautiful verse. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Well, what was the word that Jesus spoke to his disciples? He told them verbally that they were his people. He told them that God loved them. He told them that they were the sheep of his pasture. He told them that they were justified by his grace. He said, you are already righteous in me. Everything has become new. If you have me, you have everything. You have life. You will not die. All of these kinds of declarations. So, the Word of God has infused new life into the brains of his disciples and into us ourselves, especially his words of justification where he says that we are completely righteous because he offers it to us and we take it. You know, he says to us, you can have my record of righteousness. I have loved the Father with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind from the day that I came into this earth. And while you have not, you can have my record of this. You can have my love of the Father. So that in that sense, by faith, you can be completely unencumbered by your sin. This will be made perfect when we go to heaven. But right now we can have it by faith. And that is cleansing. The word of justification is cleansing to us. And the word of justification begins this life. In the spring, the vines are there. They've been trimmed from the winter. There's just the stalk, just the root that's there. But then the first life of spring begins to permeate up through the stalk. And new growth begins to occur. Little green knobs will poke forth out of the brown vine. They will begin to grow. And that compares with our justification. When we are made clean in Christ, when we understand that we are totally righteous in His righteousness? Does that not produce the kind of wonderful growth in us that is possible? Are we not infused with a feeling of life? With a feeling of, well, before I understood this, I was death itself. But now I understand it. Now I see. I was blind, as the famous poem and hymn says. I was blind, but now I see. So Jesus says to His disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now what I want you to see is beautiful in terms of the Lord's Supper. We are spiritually attached to this root. We are part of God's vine. And in a sense, the vine grows right into this room and into these elements that are before us. And as we see before us the grape juice and the wine, we see the fruit of this whole process, the fruit of the vine. Our Lord even uses this as a metaphor for the wine that He would give His people someday. He speaks of it as the fruit of the vine. And so as we partake of the wine this morning, the grape juice, it's as if that nourishment comes right into the modern church. It comes to everyone who takes this literally or looks upon it. The children look upon it. They look upon what their parents are doing. And they can appreciate the blessings of that juice, as it were. The juice starts in the ground, it starts as water, but it's filtered through and remanufactured by Christ. And He pours His nourishment into us, so that if we are in Him, we are connected to the nourishment. I love the way, you know, when you get education on the sacrament, there are always lessons on how the sacrament, which is visual, is tied to the teaching which is behind it. And you cannot get benefits from this unless your faith perceives the knowledge behind it. Unless you understand the knowledge behind it, you cannot really benefit from the fruit or from the wine, the bread, the symbols. And so here in this passage, Jesus connects these two things. In verse 3, the doctrine of Christ to the nourishment that flows through the vine. People that only think that think that all the nourishment comes from the botanically through the vine, that it has nothing to do with the teachings of the gospel, the teachings of Christ, they do not get any benefit from it. They have an overly physical view of the process. But if you rightly combine the teaching of Christ with His sacraments, then you obtain the blessings that are there to be had. And so He commands us then, if we understand how much we need Him, how much we need a Christian view, a biblical view of life to really be nourished, really grow, then He gets onto this idea of abiding in Him. And He says, I am in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, He abides in me, and I in Him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then that's literally true. You might be the greatest surgeon, you might be the greatest jurist, you might be the greatest politician, you might be the greatest artist, you might be the greatest nurse, you might be the greatest mother. But if you have not Christ, if you are not connected to the vine of eternal truth, then you have nothing. In the end, your life is absolutely empty at its root. You can be a zombie. You can stumble about a bit in this life. You can pretend that you're alive, but you're cut off from the root of all true nourishment. So how can you really think that you're alive? He says in verse 6, trading back on verse 2, the first part, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. The destruction of God's final judgment is nothing but that which is right. and obvious. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it should be done for you. Does this not remind you of Psalm 1 where God said, he speaks of the godly and he says they're like trees planted by rivers of water or vines planted by a water spring deep within the ground. Whatsoever you wish for, he says, will prosper that tree. Here he says, whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. The picture here is of a root that is connected to nourishment. And he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. I love the idea that as we come to the table today and enjoy the sacrament, that we are simply reminding ourselves that we are a part of the vine, that we are connected to the root, that all that Christ has done is prefigured in these sacraments. And as we partake of them, we can get the goodies. By faith, we can obtain the goodies that are in him.